Good morning. Today's Daf Amud Kutn Chav Gimel. We are in Chav Beis Amud Beis. We are about halfway down in the Amud, continuing the Gemara's discussion regarding the Hugei Avelos, all the practices that are done for an Avel after the loss of one of the seven relatives. So that has all been our discussion. Specifically, yesterday we noted distinctions to be made between Avelos for Shar Krovim, that's the your relatives, and Aviv Imo. Obviously, two of the seven, but nevertheless, they are notably different than the other. The reason why they're notably different, because in addition to the fact that you're an Avel, but also there's a mitzvah, kibud avim. So one's mother and one's father, so their loss, you could argue it's more acute, less acute, but that's really an emotional argument, which I'm prepared to entertain, not now. But aside from that, from a halachic standpoint, so additional to the Avelos, there's also a requirement to honor them. And so as a result of that, their Avelos is going to be slightly different, and it's going to manifest in slightly different ways than the loss of any of the other relatives. And so as a result of that, so we're going to be learning the Gemara together in terms of highlighting differences between the Avelos of Aviv Imo versus the Avelos of Shar Krovim. So we talked yesterday about Kriya. We're going to continue along the lines of Kriya. Yesterday we learned that the Chi of Kriya, the obligation to tear your clothing for any one of the Krovim that you have to be misabel for. So that means that you're going to have to tear at least a tefach of garment. So a tefach is going to be about approximately 4 inches, and that's it. Meaning once you do a tefach, so then you fulfilled your obligation. However, Aviv Imo, Achigalas libo, you have to reveal your heart. In other words, you have to reveal your chest. So the kriya has to go down even further to the point where your chest is revealed. We continue now. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. I call a mesim kulam for all the mesim. Afilu levusha sarachalukim ino korea ela haelyon. So for kol mesim, so you're wearing 10 layers, one on top of the other. So the only requirement of kriya is only on the most outer garment. However, for one's mother and one's father, so you have to do kriya on all of them, all 10 layers. A pikar suso. So, something that you wear on your head, it's not, it does hang over the shoulder. Kind of hard to describe what it is, whatever. There's some article of clothing, but not exactly, not something that you're wearing on your body. It's more on your head. So, eino me'akevah. So, it's not required. It's not necessary to do kriya on that item. Echadish ve'echadisha. So, and this requirement of kriya is required for both man and for woman as well. Obviously, for woman, you have its tznius consideration, which the Gemara is going to address in just a moment. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Aisha karasa satachton, and umachzira lachora, and chozer v'kara es ha'elyon. So, Reb Shimon ben Elazar gives a procedure in which, a manner in which a woman will do kriya, and at the same time not expose any part of her body, and so therefore taking sinus into consideration. Exactly how this maneuver is done, whatever, I'm not particularly sure, but doesn't matter. In other words, I certainly understand the point, and that is that they'll do kriya in a manner in which no part of their body has to be exposed. Akol ha-mesim kulam, we're continuing in the Gemara, we're chav beis amud beis. We are now approaching the bottom of the amud, we're still not there yet. Akol ha-mesim kulam, rasa mavdil, kamesa fishalo, rasa eno mavdil. So as far as Shar Krovim are concerned, so when you do kriya, you can tear the collar line, or you cannot. In other words, that's voluntary. I love it. Valimo mavdil. However, when it comes to kriya for your mother and your father, so you have to go all the way up to the neckline, up to the collar, and tear the collar line. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar called kriya sheino mavdil kamisaf shelo eino ela kra shel tiflus. So shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that for any kriya where you're not tearing the neckline as well, so that is not a kriya. The way he describes it, it's kara shel tiflus. It's silly. It's nonsensical, meaning that kriya by its very definition has to be now not only you're tearing the garment, but you're also tearing all the way up to and including the neckline as well. Amar Rabbi Abba, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now is going to give Svara behind Rabbi Yehuda, or a source behind Rabbi Yehuda, Dichsiv. So here we are in Malachim Beis. Vayechazek bevgada veikar'em l'shnaim kara'im. So this is Elisha doing kriya over the loss of Eliyahu Anavi. And so he takes his clothing and he tears into two. So, mimasha shenemar vayikar aim. So the verb over there is already that he tears. So any yodea shehein l'shnaim. So by definition, of course, it's going to be into two pieces. Why does the pasuk have to repeat itself into two pieces? Ella shenir and kruin kishnaim. Meaning, not only is it torn, but has to look torn as well. And so therefore, once it goes up to and includes the neckline as well, so now mamish looks like it's into two. So that's going to be a definition of what kriya is. Kriya is where it has to look like it's torn into two. So that's the svar behind Rabbi Yehuda. Continuing in the Gemara, kol meisim kulam shalel. So in terms of what can you do in terms of repairing? So when for shar krovim, after you do the kriya, so what you could do is a makeshift stitch it back together again. And la'achar shiva. Shalal la'achar shiva. So what you'll do is that you'll makeshift stitch it up, but only after shiva. Meaning during shiva, of course, you're going to leave the tear exposed. And then after shiva, you can go ahead and do shalila. Shalila just simply means some sort of makeshift patch. And then after shloshim, what you could do is you could do a professional stitch job. So that means to say that for shar krovim, it's a temporary tear, and you can repair it temporarily after shiva and permanently after shloshim. However, alav v'alimo sholel la'achar shloshim ve'inam achal la'olam. Again, for one's mother and father, again, the consideration now is that not only you're an avah, but there's a chiyuv of kibud avim as well. So therefore, sholel la'achar shloshim, so only after shloshim can you do a makeshift patch, and you cannot do a professional stitching job at any point in time going forward. As far as a woman is concerned, so immediately after she does the kriya, so she can do shlila. She can do a pass job. Again, her tznius is taken into consideration, and no part of her body should be exposed. So even though there is an obligation for her to do kriya, but at the same time, however, she does not want to go with an exposed body. So therefore, she can stitch it up. She can clip it back up even immediately. Kiyasa Ravin. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So he quotes B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan. Akol HaMesim Ratzah Korea B'Yad. Ratzah Korea B'Kli. So for all the other Mesim, so if you want to do Korea with your hand, you want to do it with an instrument, with a knife, Alviv Al-Imo B'Yad. But when it comes to one's mother and father, so you do it B'Yad, you do it with your hand. And so that, again, is going to be a more intense form of Korea. And so that is going to show more kavod for one's mother and one's father. I'm Rabbi Chebra Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. I'll call Mesim Kulam, Mi Bifnim. So for all the other relatives, so Mi Bifnim. Now Mi Bifnim over here seemingly means that you're going to take your hand and you're going to put it underneath their clothing. Again, I'm not particularly sure exactly what I mean by that, but it's done in a slightly more private method. However, but when it comes to one's mother and father, so mi bachutz, you do it externally. Okay, so it's a more public form of kriya. Again, I'm not 100% sure what I mean by this, but anyway, but again, more distinctions to be made between shar krovim and aviv imo. Okay, what I didn't do, hopefully when I go over the Gemara later, I'll do a count of how many distinctions to be made between aviv imo versus shar krovim. Obviously, a lot of differences to be made. We continue in the Gemara Amar of Chisav Chen Lanasi. So, as we just learned together, for the kriya that's done for one's parent, for one's mother, one's father, so it's going to be mi bachutz. It's going to be more external. The Gemara says, not only is that going to be a chova for one's parents, it's also going to be a chova for the Nasi as well. The Nasi, the leader of the Jewish community, dies, so everyone's going to be doing kriya. And it has to be mi bachutz, mei svei. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Let's take a look at a braisa. Lo hushva laviv limo ela ichui bovad. Yes, the Nasi is similar to your parents in terms of the obligation of Kriya. But that's only regarding the halacha of Ichui, as we learned just moments earlier this morning. So for one's mother and father, you never stitch it up totally again. You never patch it up professionally. You always do just a makeshift job stitching it up. And that's not only true for your mother and father, it's also true for the Nasi as well. So over here in the Braisa, it sounds like the only common denominator, the common thread. Oh wow, that with pun intended. Okay. No, with pun unintended, but okay. The common thread between one's mother and father and one's nasi is only vis-a-vis this halacha of ichui. But ostensibly, regarding the other halachas, notably the halacha we're discussing right now, mi bachutz, so they're not going to be similar. So my love afilo nasi, so the Gemara says lo levar mi nasi. So the Gemara says no. That's not including the nasi, meaning as far as the nasi is concerned, so not only is everyone have to do a a kriya, but an external kriya as well for the nasi. And the Braisa wasn't just dealing with that particular detail. The Gemara tells the following incident. Nasi Shachiv, so the nasi dies. So Amar le Rav Chista, okay, in terms of girsa, let's say Rav Nachman Barami. So kafe asisa v'kumala. So what you'll do is you'll take your mortar, you'll turn it, you'll flip it upside down, and you'll stand on top of it. And achve kriya la'amam, what you'll do is that you will show kriya to everybody. Meaning it's going to be a public external kriya where everybody can see it. And again, it's for the nasi, and for the nasi, it has to be mi b'chutz. So the Gemara just simply is showing us the story that, despite the fact that you could have learned the braisa otherwise, but no, the way we learned the braisa is correct. And the halacha is that not only is this requirement to mi b'chutz for one's mother and one's father, the halacha mi b'chutz also is for the nasi as well. Okay. Al chacham. A Talmud Chacham dies, choleitz miyamin. So what you'll do is that you'll expose your shoulder on the right side. Exposure of shoulder, we already discussed in yesterday's daf, is not something that is practiced nowadays. Not really clear how exactly it looks. It's just simply this particular detail of avelos and nihuge avelos have just somehow it went away. But nevertheless, there's a befer shalach in the Gemara that we're learning right now. That you have to bare your shoulder, you have to expose your shoulder. And so it is a sign, it signifies that this is a really intense form of avelos. So let's say a Talmud Chacham dies, and not just a Talmud Chacham, by the way. When the Gemara says Chacham over here, it means somebody who is responsible for the halacha in this community. So choleitz, so what you're going to do is you're going to do chalitza on the right-hand side, on your right shoulder. Ala bezdin mismol. So for the av bezdin, who is, in terms of hierarchy, is going to be on a higher level than that of the Chacham. So then you're going to expose your left. So the, now why the left is more significant than that of the right, and why does it show more of a sign of avails than that of the right? So I don't have a good explanation, but that's clearly the intent of the Gemara over here.
Is it closer to the heart, maybe?
It could be. I'm open to suggestions. I happen not to know. And so I like that. I hear that suggestion. I just don't know.
You're right.
You're right-handed, so you'll do a. Okay, it's more normal. Okay, fine. Okay, good. Al nasi mikan mikan. So now, if the nasi in fact dies, so mikan mikan. So what you're going to do is you're going to go and you're going to do both sides. In other words, the nasi now is the highest level. So in other words, we have in terms of our hierarchy, we have Talmud Chacham, we have Abbasin, we have nasi. Right when we get to the Gemara and Chagiga, that's upcoming shortly. So we're going to be discussing the Zugos, and one of them is the Abbasin, and the other one's the Nasi. But the Nasi is a leader, and the Abbasin is directly below him. So for the Nasi, for the death of the Nasi, so you're going to be an exposure. You're going to do an exposure, and that exposure is going to be both on the right and the left. Tana Rabbanan. Chacham Shemes Beis Medro, Beis Medrasho Batel. So when you have the Chacham of the community die, so his Beis Medrash is going to be left unattended for the week of the Avelos. Presumably, we're talking about the entire week. So when the Av Basin dies, so then you're going to have every Beis Medrash in the town that's going to be Batel. So it sounds like the Chacham is responsible for one particular Beis Medrash, and the Av Basin has, so to say, authority over all of them, and so therefore all of them are going to be closed, shut for the week of Avelos. Nichnasom Beis HaKnesses. Everyone goes into the shul, meaning in order to daven, so you're going to go into the shul. So, the Mishanin es Mekoman. And what you'll do is that you'll do a Shinu Amakum. You'll change your place. Yoshim Bitzafon, Yoshim Bidarim, Yoshim Bidarim, Yoshim Bitzafon. So everyone shuffles around. Again, it shows that we are all Mizbabel. We're lost and confused without our leader. Nasi Shemes, Batim Midrashos, Kulim Batel. Now, as far as the Nasi dying, so as you can imagine now, we can expect exactly what to see, and that is a higher level of Avelus. So when the Nasi dies, so all the Beis Medrashim are going to be closed, but that's already, we learned that by the Abbezdin. And, here, get ready for this. B'nei HaKnesses Nechnasim LeBeis HaKnesses. Okay.
But the
Abbezdin says Shibi Iroi. Fine. No. That's a great deal. Okay, and I missed it. Okay, good. So just to, right, excellent. So the Batik Medrashim Kulam B'Telem. Every Beis Medrash is going to be closed, and that's throughout every location. Okay, that's a good pickup. I missed it. And then Uvnei HaKnesses, everyone get prepared. And as far as the shuls are concerned, so Nichnasin LeBeis HaKnesses, the Karm Shiva. So yeah, you're going to go into the shul, but only so that you could do Kriyas HaTorah. meaning that the shuls are also going to be closed as well. Now, I know that sounds like I'm saying a lot. It's exactly what Rashi says. The current shiva, look at the top Rashi, and Chav Gimel Amad Aleph, he writes, B'Sefer Torah, De'im is Palin Yachar Be'Besek Knesses. So we're not going to get together in shul, and we're not going to be davening together in shul. In other words, everyone's going to be at home, in Avelus, over the death of the Nasi. El Kol Echav Echav is Palin Be'Besos. So as far as tefillah is concerned, so you're going to daven at home. I said, why don't you do Kriyas HaTorah in the Beis Avel? So it certainly sounds like from the Gemara, I know our practices are not this way, but it certainly sounds like from the Gemara that Kriyas HaTorah is not done in the Beis Avel. In other words, the Sifrei Torah are kept in the shul, and if you want to learn from the Torah, so you go to shul in order to learn from the Torah. Okay, I understand that things do not exactly look the same nowadays as the Gemara here is describing it, but the way Rashi's presenting it, a simple pshat in the Gemara, is that you're going to be, the shuls are going to close down for the week of the Avelos for the Nasi. And if you need to hear the Sefer Torah, which we do, so you'll go to shul and hear the Sefer Torah, but the rest of the tefillah is going to be done at home. Also, by the way, Koren Shiva, so that gives you the impression of when do they go to shul to hear the Torah? Only on Shabbos. Meaning that for the rest of the week, so there was no, Koren Shiva is only on Shabbos, not during the week. During the week, it's only three aliyahs. So again, a simple reading of the Gemara over here would indicate that during this week of avails for the Nasi, so even on Mondays and Thursdays, you don't go to shul. That's what it sounds like. Again, this harkens back to a time where there was a Nasi, and the Jewish people felt the death of the Nasi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer, lo sheyelcho v'yitala b'shuk ele yoshim v'domim. Now, during this time where the shuls are closed, so what are people going to be doing? So not that they're going to be walking around and taking strolls, but rather they're going to be going home and they're sitting shiva in their house. They're going to be secluded and quiet in their houses for that week of avails. Ein ormim shmua v'agad beveis ha'ava. So another thing regarding the beis ha'ava, and that is that you're not going to go over a sugi of learning. You're not going to say agadato in the beis ha'ava. Amra alava Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel shaya omer shmua v'agad beveis ha'ava, and he did. Okay. So should you be learning in the Beis Avel? Should you not? So it's a machlokus amongst the Tanaim, right? There's a minhag. There's an old and accepted minhag that in the Beis Avel, so Mishnayos are learned in the Beis Avel. Okay, I heard Rav Schechter speaking about it in terms of it's an old minhag, right? Nowadays they learn a couple of Mishnayos in the Beis Avel, but used to be the minhag was is that they would cover Mishnayos in the Beis Avel lezecher nishmasi the mace. Anyway, Tana Rabbanan. Avo b'Shabbos Rishona. So when you're talking about the Avo Shabbos Rishona, Shabbos Rishona could be interpreted in one of a couple of ways, but we're just going to say, for now, I'm just going to give one way to present the Gemara. Shabbos over here means the week of. Okay. I understand that there are definitely other ways in which to present the Gemara, but I'm going to just simply say the week. So for the first week, any Yotzei Pesach Beso, so you don't leave your house at all. So even to go to shul. And again, that's obviously the most intense week of Avelos, and so therefore you don't leave your house. Shnia Yotzei Eino Yoshev Bimkama. Now, what you're going to do on week number two is that you are going to leave your house. You're going to go to shul, but you don't sit in your makam kavur, right? Yeah, you generally speaking, you have a place in which you sit, so you don't sit in your makam kavur on week number two. Shlishis. If now we're talking about the third week, so Yoshev Bimkama Ve'Eino Medaber. So what you'll do is that you'll go to your makam kavur, but you don't talk. And Revius, and when you get to the fourth week, Harei Kachol Adam. So now you could be fully acclimated to your normal positions in shul, which is you can go to your makam kavua and you can talk. Okay, the Harei Kachol Adam. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lo Tzurchu Lamar Shabbos Rishona Lo Yetsim Pesach Beisah Sharei Akol Nechnasim Levesol LaNachma. So what Rabbi Yehuda is going to dispute over here is the following. Week number one, don't even count in week number one. Week number one, you're novel during that week. People are coming to your house in order to be Menachem you. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is going to go over everything we just said, but push everything off by 1 week forward. Because that first week, you're novel. So there's nothing to talk about for that first week. So, Ella, so here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shnia in a Yosemi Pesach Beso. So it's for that second week that he's not going to shul at all. Even though it's post Avelos, but still, in other words, he's still in the more intense levels of his mourning, and so therefore he shouldn't even go to shul during that second week. And Shlishis Yotzei and any Yosha Bimkama in the week number 3. So you will go to Shul, but not your, you will not be sitting in your Makam Kavua. Revius Yosha Bimkama Oena Medaber, week number 4. So you will go to Shul, you will sit in your Makam Kavua, but you're not going to speak to others. And Chamishis Arehu Kechol Adam, and only week number 5 are you going to be fully reinstated as your normal position in Shul. Okay. Again, the things that are not care, at least my observation, as carefully practiced as other Nihugi Avils, but clearly the Gemara over here talks about reintroducing yourself into Shul life after loss. Tanu Rabbanan. We are in Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We are halfway down on the Amud. And first wide line, so short Amud. So the Gemara here is going to continue its discussion. So the regarding Nihugi Avos, Kol Shloshim Yom Nisuin. So Mesa. So I'm sorry. Let's start that again. So Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Shloshim Yom Nisuin. So for 30 days. So the for the halacha is going to be the same Lagabi Nisuin, meaning you do not get married within those 30 days. So, and it doesn't matter which one of your krovim die. In other words, you are an avel, and so your avelus is going to, cannot coexist with marriage, and so therefore you cannot get married. Now, another halacha, and that is over the loss of one's wife. Over the loss of one's wife, so you have to wait 3 regalim in order to get remarried again. So obviously that is going to extend well beyond shloshim. So, right, the halacha is that you can get married during shloshim, but when you experience one's loss of one's wife, so you have to wait Gimel Regalim. Why do you have to wait Gimel Regalim? So really interesting Tosfos over here. Tosfos writes, it's the second Tosfos. Achu Shlosha Regalim, below Simcha v'lo Yishkach Avas Ishto. So it's to properly mourn your wife. In other words, the most amount of Simcha that you can have with one's wife is when you take the Simchas Nisuin and you put it together with Yantiv. Yantiv also is the Zman Simcha. So, and it's going to be on Yantiv where you're going to be remembering the simcha that you had with your wife the most intense. So you have to let 3 of them come and go in order to properly, mourn and give kavod to the memory of your wife. That's one pshat. Tosfos also offers another pshat as well. Inami, kideshi isa isha acheres velo ye zachar min rishona, shaleye beiz deos bemita. You want to properly give your attention to your second wife. And if you get married too quickly, so what's going to happen is there are going to be beis deos bemita, and you're not going to properly be able to give your full attention to your second wife. You'll have the memory of your first wife too close by, and so the 3 regalim are going to be enough time in order so that the memory of your first wife will fade enough so that you can give your full attention to the second wife. So basically, the 2 pshatim of Tosfos is either number 1, it's going to be a covered for your first wife, or number 2. It's going to be a covered for your second wife. Okay, those are 2 possible pshatim within Tosfos in terms of why it is that you have to wait Gimel Regalim before you can get remarried again.
Now, the wife doesn't have to do the same thing. It's different for wife.
I don't know.
I mean, it just mentions husband specifically.
Your point is very well taken. I just don't know. I could guess, but I don't know.
But the wife, you have to wait because of paternity. It's
well, there's a paternity issue of 91 days. Right, correct. Correct, but is there this halacha Gimel Regalim? I just simply am ignorant. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rego Rishon V'Sheni Aser, Shlishi Mutter. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, so for the first and second, so it would be, you have to wait, but for the third, it would be Mutter. So the Im Ein Lo Banim. Okay, so Machlokes Satanayim, in terms of how long you have to wait before you marry a new wife, and now the Brisa turns its attention to Heterim. Meaning there are going to be circumstances in which you can get married immediately. V'imein lo banim, let's say, for example, you don't have children, meaning and you have the mitzvah of peruvu that you need to fulfill, mutar lisa la'altar. So you can get married immediately. Now, when the Gemara says immediately over here, what does that mean? So Rabbi Natam says not during Shiva. Not, in other words, you have to wait till after Shiva. But in other words, immediately means betoch shoshim. Okay, that's Rabbi Natam, other pshatim as well. And mishum bitol peruvu. Hinich lo banim ketanim, or another heter. And that would be, let's say, the wife dies and you still have rachmanis, you have young children and you need help raising them. So then muta lisa la'altar. So then you can get married immediately, mimnei parnasasam, in order to help you raise your children. So maisa shemesa isha she Yosef HaKohen, the Gemara tells the following story where the death of the wife of Yosef HaKohen, va'amalach hosa, now he turns to his sister-in-law And he says, Bevesa Kvars, and he says it at the funeral. Now, I know that, you know, in other words, in this scenario, yeah. Like in the many, right, a lot of morbid humor over here, but it's okay. Maisa Shai, it happened. And in the basic Kvars, Lachi Ufarnasias Bini Achosech. And so, right, the language over here, the proposal over here, it's very functional. In other words, look, we have a lot of young children, so go ahead and start taking care of your nephews and nieces. It's another way of him proposing to her. Okay, it was very functional. So the
she's also an adult because she's the
car. Right, and it's her sister. Right, correct. The Alpha Pikin Labala Elulus Mamaruba. Now, even though they got married immediately, and again for the functionality purposes of raising the children, so but still in terms of being intimate with one another, so that was put on delay for some time later. My Zman Meruba, the Gemara here gives a very clear definition of what that means. Amar Papa La'achar Shoshim Yom, it's going to be after 30 days. Okay, and it's so interesting over here. In other words, the idea that there is no way that you can take care of the children without getting married. Even though, as far as being intimate is concerned, that's going to have to be put on delay. Meaning, you could have just simply argued that. Apparently, this is not a valid argument, but I was thinking you can argue you could take care of the children and not be married. Meaning, the whole point over here is that this is this heter is for the basic purpose of taking care of the small children. Fine, so take care of the small children, and then we'll get married a month later after Shloshim. But for reasons which I kind of understand, it doesn't work that way. In other words, she's going to be living in the house, so you got to get married. But at the same time, however, you have to wait till after Shoshim until Tashmish Amita. Tan Rabbanan. Ko Shoshim Yom Ligihut. Okay. 30 days for Gihut. So when we're talking about Shoshim, so what are the practices of Shoshim? So we've said this already a couple of times, but let's say it again. Tasparitz and Gihut. So you can't get a haircut, and then shave included in that during Shoshim, and also Gihut. Now, Gihut is laundry, but it's not exactly laundry. It's more like pressing. Okay, it's more like ironing. So and remember, it's during Shiva that you're not allowed to do laundry. So presumably that means that after Shiva is over, so some forms of laundering is okay. So during Shloshim, it's not exactly laundry that's usher. It's more like the finishing touches of the laundering process. Okay, I'll say it's called pressing, even though again, it'd be a lot easier if we knew what their practices of laundering were back in the good old days. But I'm just going to call it pressing. So this is going to be prohibited during Shloshim. So Echad Kelim Chadashim, Echad Kelim Yishanim. And it doesn't matter if we're talking about new clothing, old clothing, Yotzim Mitoch HaMechabesh. What we do is that we press it after it's laundered. So Rebbe Omer, so according to the Tanakhama, so all kinds of pressing are going to be prohibited. New clothing, old clothing. Rebbe Amar Lo Asru, Ela Kelim Chadashim Bavad. No, the Isser is only on new clothing. Apparently, the giyutz of old clothing is not that pronounced, and so therefore, it's not going to be prohibited. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer Lo Amr Ela Kelim Chadashim Levanim Bavad. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon is the most makel. He will tell you that yes, there is an isser of giyutz during Shloshim, but it's only for new clothing, and it's only for white clothing. So only if it's new and white is this giyutz process going to be really pronounced. But if it's anything other than that, so then there's no problem whatsoever. You'd be allowed to do giyutz. Abay Nafik. Begadu de Sarvala. So, it's some article of clothing. It is white, but it's old. And he pressed it. And so again, so what that means to say that he's subscribing to the last opinion that we just saw, the, Kerebi. He's going like the Shita of Rebbe. not the last opinion. Sorry. He's going like the middle position. All right. Sorry. Of Rebbe. And Rav Nafik. And Rava went out with an article of clothing. It was red. It was new. But he pressed it. And he was going like the Shita of Rabbi Loz Rabbi Shimon. That's the most lenient position. Okay. The Gemara now takes us to a fundamental debate between the North and the South. Okay. So we're dividing the Jewish community into two. So the people living in the North, that's the Bnei HaYeshiva of Tveria, of Tzipori, and so that's the Bnei Gilila, and the Bnei Yehuda probably is whatever Sheiris HaPleta, whatever remnants were in Yerushalayim, right, I'm guessing. Anyway, the dividing line over here is between the north and the south, and Hani Amre, and the Gemara tells us now the following debate. What were they debating? Yesh Avelus b'Shabbos. V'hani Amri ein avelos b'Shabbos. So one group says that there's avelos on Shabbos, and one group says there's no avelos on Shabbos. To be clear, the week of avelos obviously is going to include Shabbos. That we already know. It has to. In other words, avelos is 7 days, and every 7 days, no matter how you configure it, is going to include a Shabbos. And so therefore, that means to say that Shabbos is going to be an interlude in terms of avelos. We also know already that on Shabbos, you're not going to be doing dvarim shebefarhesya. You're not going to be doing external acts of avelos on Shabbos. That part we also know as well. That's the Dover Pashto. What is going to be open and subject to a machlokis is whether or not there's going to be dvarim shebetzin on Shabbos. Meaning that during the day of Shabbos, there's certainly going to be an interruption of avelos. The only question now becomes, what kind of interruption are we talking about? Is it going to be a full cessation of all nihugi avelos during Shabbos or no? In other words, it's only going to be dvarim shebefarhesya, but not dvarim shebetzinah. So that is the question that is going to be open to the debate. So man damar avelos b'Shabbos diktani ola. So the one who says that there is avelos on Shabbos, meaning that there's some form of avelos on Shabbos, because consider the language of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? It ola, it counts. Shabbos is going to actually count. Now man damar ein avelos b'Shabbos, so eino mafsekes. Now the one who says that there's no nihuga avelos whatsoever on Shabbos is because consider what the Mishnah says. It doesn't interrupt. Now, why would the Mishnah have to say it doesn't interrupt? So, ostensibly, the simplest pshat would be because there's mamish no nihugi avelos, and one could make the argument, okay, so therefore it should interrupt. So, the eino mafsekes would tell me that despite the fact that it's a full interruption, it doesn't interrupt. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. So, ela hakatani ola. So the Gemara says, okay, now, obviously, each position has a word that it can rely on in the Mishnah that would back the position, but the Gemara is going to do what it classically does. What if you subscribe to the other viewpoint? So, ha-ketani ola. So, for the one who says that there's no avilos on Shabbos, so why does the Mishnah have to use the word ola? So, I did the kabai lemisne seifa ena olim, so tana resha ola. So, the Gemara says for purposes of symmetry. Because in the second half of the Mishnah, when it talks about regel, it says ena olim, so only because of that language that's employed in the second half of the Mishnah. So therefore, in the first half of the Mishnah, it uses the words ola. Okay. Ulamanda amar yesh avelos b'Shabbos. To the one who says that there is a form, there are nihuge avelos on Shabbos. So hakatani ina mafsekes. So what do you do with the words ina mafsekes? Mishum tekabai lemisne seifa mafsekin. So tana resha ina mafsekes. So the same argument. In the second half of the Mishnah, we're going to be using the word mafsekin. We use it in terms of regel. Right, as we already know, what happens if you observe some of avelos before Yontif, and Yontif now comes in it, and what does it do? Mafsik, it breaks it. It totally interrupts, it stops the avelos. So because in the second half of the Mishnah, we use the word mafsik, and so therefore, in the first half, we use the words eno mafsikin, but only for purposes of symmetry. Lema ketanai. The Gemara now would like to suggest that this is going to be subject to a machlokas hatanayim, in terms of whether or not there are either no nihugi avelos on Shabbos, in the Shabbos of during your avelos, or there are nihugim, it's just varim shebetzin, and not varim shebefarisya. So consider the following. This is a brisa. This brisa is coming out of Masechta called Smachos. Smachos is a brisa dedicated to avelos, meaning the truth of the matter is that I've said already that there are, there's no location where avelos is being discussed. That's partially true, partially not true. Meaning, that there is a Masechta, it's one of the Masechta's Ketanos, one of the quote unquote minor Masechta's minor just simply means it's smaller, that deal with it. There is no Talmud Bavli on the Masechta Smachos, but here, in Moikutin, as we're discussing, in Yane Avelus, so obviously, a primary source for our Gemara is going to be Masechta Smachos. So that's what we're quoting from over here. This is from Smachos. Misha Mesa Mutalafanav. So, when a person is an Oni, right? That's the expression is Misha Mesa Mutalafanav. The Mesa is directly in front of you, meaning you haven't buried the Mesa yet. So now, Ocho Bebayas Achir. So first of all, alt kavod, you should not be eating in this house, but you should be eating in a different house. The ocha bevayis acher, ve'ein lo bayis acher, ocha bevayis chavero. So if you don't have another house, you don't have a second house, so then ask a friend if you can eat in their house. Ein lo bayis chavero, osela mechitza, sar tfachim. So, and if that's not a possibility, so then make a mechitza. Ein lo davar lasos, if let's say you have just no means to make a mechitza, so mechitza machzir panav ochel. So what you'll do now is you'll just simply turn your back on the mesa in order to eat. ain't a masiv. So what you do is you don't lean in the normal way that leaning is done back in the good old days. Eating was done while leaning to the left, right? See Pesach for the obligation of a seba. V'ochel v'ino ochel bas v'ino shos yayin. And what you could do is you can eat, but not to eat meat and not to drink wine, right? That is that's going to distract you from your task at hand. Your task at hand right now is to bury. The mitzvah of burial is an important task. Obviously, you need to eat. You need your energy. But at the same time, however, to start eating meat, to start drinking wine, is going to distract you from the objective. So that's not to be done now. Ein mevarach. You don't make a bracha. So we know the halacha is, we saw this back in brachos, and here in today's daf, in Moed Katan, daf Chav Gimel. So we're going to be going over that an onin is patur min hamitzvos. He's going to be exempt from doing mitzvos. So oddly enough, he's not going to be making a bracha. Presumably the Gemara over here is referencing a bracha Rishona. Not sure if that's really the pshat in the Gemara over here. Rashi in Mevarich, he writes, Lohutzi acherim yidei chovasam. It sounds like we're describing benching over here. But anyway, so ein mevarich vein mezamin. But it is confusing because it also says ein mezamin. And that's clearly talking about Zeman. Okay, anyway. Ein mevarchin alav. And you don't have him in mind to bench on his behalf. Ein mezamin alav. He's going to be exempt from all mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, why is he going to be exempt from all mitzvahs of the Torah? So I'll give you the simplest pshat, the one that we saw back in Brachos when we went over the sugya, and that's because he's osek b'mitzvah. He currently now has a mitzvah to bury his relative. That mitzvah is incumbent upon him. Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. That's the easiest way to say it. The truth of the matter is that Tosfos back in Brachos also did give another way to explain it as well, but for our purposes right now, that's just the easiest way to say it. Uvi Shabbos Mesa V'Ochel. Now, on Shabbos, meaning, let's say he's an Onain, but it's Shabbos. Now, obviously on Shabbos, he can't bury. You're not allowed to bury on Shabbos. That would violate a number of malachos on Shabbos. So what do you do? So you hear Mesa V'Ochel V'Ochel Basa V'Shos Yayin. So now you can recline, you can eat meat, you can drink wine. Umevarchin Mezamin Umevarchin Umezamin Alav. So now you're going to be obligated in all mitzvahs. Now, for the explanation that we gave, it makes a lot of sense. Meaning, your patur from mitzvahs is because you're osek b'mitzvah. But obviously, on Shabbos, you're no longer an osek b'mitzvah. So now you're going to be chayv in all the mitzvahs that you could do, including benching, including making brachas, etc., etc. Huh?
Tefillin, it says.
It does say tefillin. Okay, a question of what, right. It came, tefillin came along for the ride, meaning since it was prominently displayed in the first half of the Braisa, so probably what happened is that it just came along. Rabbi Gamliel, Omer Mitochshin is chayiv be'elun is chayiv be'kulan. So the, once you become obligated in these mitzvahs, you're going to be obligated in all mitzvahs. Now, obviously the question is, what is Rabbi Gamliel describing? What is he making reference to over here? V'am Rav Yochanan Tashmish Amita Yikabe Nayu. So Rav Yochanan says what he's making reference to over here is Tashmish Amita. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, an Onin is going to be Aster and Tashmish Amita. Meaning, despite the fact that he can't be involved in the Kvura, and he is going to be Chayv in all the mitzvahs, but at the same time, there's still this underlying awareness that he's an Onin. And so therefore he cannot engage in marital relations with his wife. On the other hand, according to Rambam Gamliel, so once we postpone Aninus altogether, in other words, it's Shabbos and you can't bury, so Aninus is going to be postponed in total. And so that means, according to Rambam Gamliel, it would be permitted for him to have relations with his wife. So, my la ba'aka miflagi. Now, the Gemara over here is suggesting as follows. What is going to be at the core issue between Tanakam and Rambam Gamliel? So presumably, it's the north versus the south. Remember how this second Amud opened up? It opened up with a very basic machlokas between the north and the south. We don't know who said which, but the north and the south regarding how to view Shabbos during your Shiva. Is your Shabbos during your Shiva going to be totally suspended? Only who gave us are going to be totally suspended. Alternatively, only the Dvarim Shabbat Farhes are going to be suspended, but not the Dvarim Shabbat Sinah. At this point in time, hopefully you're thinking to yourself, what kind of comparison are we making over here? The overarching discussion over here is regarding Avelos. What we're looking at right now is an Onain. It's not the same, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. So the to which the Gemara says no. So I'm sorry. Let me just finish reading. So Mar Savar Yeshav Ves B'Shabbos, Mar Savar Einav Ves B'Shabbos, Mimai. And the Gemara says no. Of course you don't have to say that. Dilma Ad Kan Lo Kamar Tanakama Hasam Ela Mishum Demesa Muta Lefanav. Over there, the issue could very well be that according to the Tanakama, you're noning. In other words, the mace is still there. So again, on Shabbos, you can't do anything about it. But there is a component, an extraordinarily emotional component, that the mace is still there. So as a result of that, so the Tanakama is going to tell you that you need to be more machmir. Avahacha, ain mace mutalafana, but over here, you're novel. Meaning the burial is done. So there is no pressing mitzvahs per se. It is, I'm saying this just relatively. It's just avelos. And so therefore, maybe the Tanakhama would tell you that no. Maybe Tashmi Shemitah would be allowed on Shabbos. So lo. So And I could also argue in the other direction as well. Meaning, according to Rabbi Gamliel, I could tell you that, look, during Avelos and Shabbos of Avelos, he can't be with his wife. Okay, but when you're an Onin, you're not yet an Avel. Meaning, an Avel confers upon you a status. And that status is going to prevent you from being intimate with your wife during the whole week of Avelos, including Shabbos. But when you're an Onin, Onin is not so much a status as it is just simply an objective. There is an objective during an Aninus, and that is to bury. And on Shabbos, you simply can't get to that objective. And so therefore, you can have Tashmi Shemitah with your wife. And so we can argue in both directions. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is we can make a distinction between being an Onin versus being an Avel. And we can argue in both directions. So the Gemara says that as much as you wanted to bring this Braisa and Smachos as a support for our discussion, but the Gemara says not necessarily. By Minei Rabbi Yochanan, we're just going to be doing two more lines today on the top of Chavzal Amad Alf. By Minei Rabbi Yochanan Mishmuel, Yesh Avelos B'Shabbos, Ein Avelos B'Shabbos, Amalei Ein Avelos B'Shabbos. So the response that Shmuel gave is that there's not going to be Avelos on Shabbos, not even Dvarim Shebitzina. Stay tuned tomorrow because whether or not Rav Yochanan accepted the answer or did not accept the answer is going to be a large part of tomorrow's discussion. Let's review today's daf. We started off this morning going over numerous differences between avelus over one's mother and father versus shar krovim. So this morning we spent specifically on the details of kriya. And the kriya that is done for one's mother and father is going to be slightly different than the kriya that you're going to be doing for shar krovim. And we went through a number of differences. What about a nasi? So we talked about the nihugim of avelos for a nasi. And while we were talking about a nasi, we also spoke about an aves, and we also spoke about the talmud chacham of the community, in which there are certain nihugim that are practiced, including even the closing of shul. So closing of shul sounds quite remarkable, but for the death of the nasi, as we now are on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph in a review, so it sounds like from the Gemara, simple reading of the Gemara, and certainly Rashi's presentation of the Gemara, is that yes, the shul is going to be closed. Getting remarried. So are you allowed to get remarried during Shloshim? The answer is no. That's a simple answer. No, you can't get married during Shloshim, meaning that you're right now in your mourning period, Shiva Shloshim, or your mourning period, and so you can't get married up to and including Shloshim as well. And before we get to the exceptions, and what if the loss is over your wife? So then there's another halacha, which is that you have to wait Gimel Regalim. Why do you have to wait for Gimel Regalim? So this morning we went through Tosfos, where he says it's either the covet of your first wife or the covet of your second wife, your new wife, either way. And then we noted that they're heterim. One heter is that if you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu, so then you can get married much sooner. What does much sooner mean exactly? So ostensibly what it means is that you can get married during Shloshim, but not during Shiva. If you have children that you need to raise, so you can get married even earlier. Ostensibly, you can get married even during Shiva at that point in time. In fact, the shidduch was made at the funeral. I know that sounds funny, but for the purposes of raising the children, yeah. So even under those circumstances, Tashmi Shemitah is going to be delayed until afterwards. We discussed on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph a little bit regarding Giyutz during Shloshim. So during Shloshim, so there's an Isser Giyutz. What does that apply to? The pressing of clothing. So three opinions amongst the Tanayim, where we saw Amoraim either adopt the lenient position or the most lenient position. And finally, our last discussion for today on Chav Gimel Amud Beis is whether or not Avelos is totally suspended over Shabbos, meaning Shabbos is going to interrupt every Avelos. So is Shabbos now going to be a total suspension of Avelus, or is it going to be just a suspension of Dvarim Shebet Farhesya, but you still have to observe Dvarim Shebet Sina? And on Chav Gimel Amud Beis, we litigated this issue to the point in which we quoted a Bryson Smachos dealing with an Onain, and we think that the machlokis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Gamliel, in terms of whether an Onain could be with his wife during Shabbos, maybe that's going to inform us of our discussion over here. And the Gemara says, no, it's not. Because what we could do is we could segregate Aninus and Avelus. They are two separate entities. And so therefore, what is true by one may not be true by the other. Adkan.